I'm not going to repeat the title because it's really long, so I'm just going to start with the presentation. Steroidogenesis is the process through which steroids are generated from cholesterol. There are two sources for cholesterol, either synthesized de novo through an acetate-mevalonate pathway or acquired from diet. The rate-limiting step of steroidogenesis is the transfer of cholesterol from the outer mitochondrial membrane to the inner mitochondrial membrane, a process that has been extensively studied and two proteins have been mostly emphasized, a steroidogenic acute regulatory protein STAR, which is whose level are rapidly increased upon hormone stimulation, and translocator protein 18. The levels don't increase, but it's imperative for steroidogenesis to take place. So what is translocator protein 18? It's an 18-kilodalton high-affinity cholesterol and drug-binding mitochondrial protein. It was previously known as the peripheral benzodiazepine receptor, and it was identified originally in the rat kidney due to its ability to bind benzodiazepine diazepam. Although it's found in many tissues, the highest levels of steroid of TSPO are found in steroid-producing tissues. So why is TSPO expressed in high levels in steroidogenic cells? In order to understand the transcription regulation of TSPO, we previously cloned and characterized 2.7 Kb fragments of the mouse and human TSPO promoter. We found that the absence of a functional TATA and CAT boxes, multiple transcription start sites, presence of multiple transcription factor binding sites, as well as an abundance of GC boxes. In vivo studies showed that a 2.7 Kb fragment and a 0.8 Kb fragments of the TSPO promoter were able to direct GFP expression in the Leydig cells of the testes, the cortex cells of the adrenal, as well as the theca cells of the ovary in a manner that mimics that of endogenous TSPO. Between 0.8 and 0.1, we lose that specificity as well as the intensity, indicating the presence of multiple important transcription regulation elements in this area. In order to understand further the transcription regulation of TSPO, we analyze its transcriptional, the promoter transcriptional responses in tumor promoter, PMA, in three different cells with different amounts of TSPO. We find that PMA, through a PKC epsilon-dependent pathway, was able to induce TSPO promoter activity as well as mRNA and protein levels only in non-steroidogenic cells that are low in TSPO, but not in MA10 cells, which are steroidogenic and rich in TSPO. So summary of our previous findings showed that in non-steroidogenic cells, PMA, which is a tumor promoter, was able to activate PKC epsilon, which directs its effect on the TSPO gene promoter through AP1 and ATS sites. While in steroidogenic cells, constitutive expression and high activity of PKC epsilon was responsible for activating the gene expression. So the talk today would be about what mediates the effect of PKC epsilon on TSPO gene expression. PKC epsilon mediates its effect through multiple signaling pathways, and in order to identify which pathway it's going through, I utilized different inhibitors for different pathways, and I show that NF-kappa B inhibitors were not able to affect the PMA induction of the TSPO promoter in NIH2T3 cells, while U0126, which is a MYC2 inhibitor, was able to reduce the basal activity of TSPO promoter in both NIH2T3 cells and MA10 cells, and was also able to dose-dependently reduce the PMA induction of the TSPO promoter, indicating that PKC epsilon is most likely mediating its effect on TSPO through a MAPK pathway. So to further confirm that PMA does in fact activate the MAPK pathway in my cells, I treated the cells with in a time response with PMA, and I showed that PMA was able to dose-dependently phosphorylate MEK as well as ERK and Cjun, and it was able to induce Cjun expression levels in agreement with our previous findings. Using the U0126 inhibitor was able to wipe out the phosphorylation of ERK12 in response to PMA, further confirming the involvement of the MAPK pathway. So previously I identified the presence of the AP1 and the second ATS sites that mediate the PKC epsilon effect on the TSPO promoter. Further characterization of this area revealed the presence of a STAT3 site that overlaps with the AP1 and the ATS sites. So in order to check if PKC epsilon, in fact, does go through a MAPK pathway and does affect STAT3, I went ahead and I overexpressed PKC epsilon in NIH 323 cells, which are low in TSPO as well as PKC epsilon. And I showed that treating with PMA was able to induce the phosphorylation of the RAF1 as well as ERK12 and STAT3, indicating that the MAPK and STAT3 are downstream targets of PKC epsilon. So to check if these members do in fact regulate TSPO expression, I utilize siRNA targeted at the green boxes, but not TSPO, and I show that using this siRNA was able to reduce the basal levels of TSPO in the NIH323 cells, as well as significantly reduce the PMA induction of the TSPO gene expression. Going to the MA10 cells, which are rich in TSPO, using siRNA for RAF, MEK, ERK, as well as CGN on STAT3, was able to significantly reduce TSPO mRNA expression, as well as protein expression. And using shRNA for ERK2 was able to also reduce TSPO protein expression, confirming the involvement of the MAPK pathway as the downstream target of PKC epsilon in regulating TSPO gene expression. So to confirm if the CJUN does in fact bind to the TSPO promoter, CHIP assay was utilized, and I showed that CJUN does in fact bind to the endogenous TSPO promoter in both MA10 and NIH323 cells. And treating the NIH323 cells, which are low in TSPO, with PMA, recruited STAT3 to the complex, which may be responsible for inducing the TSPO promoter activity in these low in TSPO cells. So the final conclusion of my talk would be that PKC epsilon levels and activity define TSPO expression. So in non-steroidogenic cells, we need a PMA to activate PKC epsilon, which in turn activates the MAPK pathway, phosphorylates STAT3, induces CJUN, and recruits into the promoter to drive TSPO promoter activity up, as well as mRNA and gene expression. While in steroidogenic cells that are rich in PKC epsilon, constitutive activation of PKC epsilon is the one that drives the MAPK pathway and the recruitment of CJUN and STAT3 to the promoter and maintaining higher TSPO expression. Finally, I would like to thank Dr. Vasilios Papadopoulos for having me in his lab, Dr. Martine Kulte for her continuous support, as well as Dr. Christophorus Yazakis, who I inherited the project from, and all the Papadopoulos and Kulte lab members, as well as our grant support. And I hope I wasn't too fast, and I will take any questions.
Actually, it was quite good. So you have to follow her example. So now the paper is open for discussion. Please identify yourself before your questions.
Is that working? Yeah. Jérôme Fortin McGill. I'm wondering, because you mentioned that a little bit in your last slide. You used PMA to stimulate PKC activity, and this leads to activation of the promoter. I'm wondering, what signal does that mimic? Like, what kind of physiological signal, either extracellular or intracellular, activates TSPO expression in vivo?
We haven't identified that yet, but that is actually a point of great interest in our lab. It could be arachidonic acid. It could be a lot of other hormones, but we don't know exactly what it is yet.
Do you think that it's something that directly activates PKC or something upstream of PKC?
I believe it could be a combination of different signaling transduction pathways, PKC epsilon being one of them, and I believe it would be most likely something upstream of PKC epsilon.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Dan Bernard, Pharmacology. A very nice presentation.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you a question that I've gotten a few times when I've given a similar talk, which is at the outset you told us you were interested in identifying specificity in TSPO expression because it is limited in where it's expressed, and yet the pathway that you've identified arguably is ubiquitous. There are a lot of things that turn on PKC epsilon in many cells, and so I guess the question I have is, why wouldn't PKC epsilon activation, MAP kinase downstream activation, then turn on TSPO in more cell types?
That's a great question. I believe PKC epsilon maintains higher TSPO expression but I probably don't believe it actually does target the specificity in this study. More likely it's just the ubiquitous expression of it in certain cells than others. But it could also depend on what transcription factors are present on those other cells, so that could affect why it's activated in some tissues but not in others. But that is something that remains to be investigated. Thank you. Thank you.